Poltergeist, Ghost, and Purgatory Haunting is not only an incredible story in and of itself, but it also reveals to us 10 incredibly powerful spiritual truths that you need to know right now. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, this happened over 250 years ago in 1797 by a Lutheran man to the name of Adam Livingston. Now, initially, here's a story in summary. So he had a demon possess his farm, and it was affecting everything. It was affecting the animal. It was affecting things within his house, what could technically be called a poltergeist. He would have unusual occurrences such as fires going around the house, furniture moving, strange noises, and the most famous part of it was that it would clip clothing in the shape of crescent moons, giving it the famous name of the Wizard Clip. Now, he initially, through trial and error, dealt with it through his own clergy, and then he eventually had a dream that essentially told him that you need to go to a Catholic priest. They went to one, they came, they celebrated Mass, they blessed the property, and eventually that demon left. In some versions of the story, they confused that detail and thought that it was possibly a soul in purgatory. That, however, didn't come until later. Once the demon left, a mystical voice remained with them for 17 years, teaching them everything about the Catholic faith and the spiritual life. It only alludes to its identity, most likely a priest in purgatory, I'll show you why later, and it gives them incredibly powerful spiritual gems. We're going to get into those right now. The first one is that purgatory is real, and it's excruciating. One night, the voice made the Livingstons get up 3 times to pray for a certain soul in purgatory. All heard a voice shrieking, "Help, help." When asked what kind of help was needed, it replied, "Prayers, for we are in excruciating torments. Hand me something and you will be convinced." And as soon as a shirt was held up, a whole human hand was burned into it, leaving the spaces between the fingers not scorched. The entire family saw both the flame and the hand. On another occasion, the letters IHS were cleanly burned in deep red colors on a vest. These supernaturally marked objects, as well as some of the clipped cloth, were kept and seen by many persons for over 30 years, although unfortunately they were all eventually lost or destroyed. Now, for those of you that have been watching my channel, this evidence sounds incredibly similar to the evidence that we have in the Purgatory Museum in Rome. For us Catholics, and especially for those Catholics that think that purgatory is something of the past, even though this happened 250 years ago, this gives us evidence that God wants us to know purgatory is real, the church still teaches it, and it is incredibly painful no matter what anyone tells you. Number two is that Protestants can and should believe in purgatory. Listen to the following. As was only to be expected, these extraordinary events and revelations resulted in the conversion of many friends and relatives of the two favored families. In fact, during one winter, 14 persons are known to have joined the Catholic Church in the region around Priest's Place, which is what that region was called, as the Livingston property now came to be called. And the Catholics nearby of Maryland and Virginia were inspired to lead better lives, particularly when they saw the Livingstons and the McSherrys, under the guidance of the mystic voice, had become ardent lay apostles of Christ. Of course, we should bring the reality of the church's teaching of purgatory to Catholics, especially those that either don't believe in it or don't understand it fully as much as they should. But not only that, because this whole experience was brought to Lutherans. And we should take this example that God is giving us, that we should reach out to those not of the fold and challenge them. In fact, in a few days, I'll be releasing a video talking about different scripture verses that point to purgatory. Look out for that so that you can help guide any friends of yours that are not in the Catholic Church. Number three is a reality that we should pray significantly more than we think we should. Now, these were regular people. Listen to this. Often the voice would come and exclaim, "I want prayers." It would awaken Mr. and Mrs. Livingston at night and tell them to pray hard for perseverance and for sinners. Sometimes it made them pray for 3 hours, though they admitted that it did not seem to be more than a few minutes. And it would suddenly summon the whole family in the evenings with these words, "Come, take your seats, and then it would instruct them very thoroughly in the various dogmas of the Catholic religion. Whenever it came, sometimes accompanied by the bright light, it would say, as they made the sign of the cross, three great names, none greater on earth, none greater in heaven. Once it ordered the Livingston to keep a 40 days fast with 3 hours of prayer each day. Now, how do we know that this voice was a soul in purgatory? Listen to this evidence. It revealed to Mr. Livingston that it had once been in the flesh, as he was, and that if he persevered, he would know whom it was before his death, although we never are told this, or this was never actually revealed, or he took it to his grave. After the voice had sung three times very beautifully in Latin and in English, the Livingston naturally thought that their mysterious visitor had perhaps been a priest. The other evidence of this is the fact that it instructed them in the Catholic faith, something that is particular to a priest. The fourth spiritual reality is that immodest fashions are inspired by Satan and can definitely lead you to hell. Now, we know this from many other revelations, but this affirms it incredibly firmly. The mystic voice from the other world always placed just as much stress upon living true Christian life as upon praying for the souls in purgatory. It strongly recommended hospitality, and it often severely warned the Livingston and the McSherrys against the vanities of the world, and especially against fashion. It urged the wealthy McSherrys to set aside all pride and vanity, and to humble themselves to the earth as though they were sackcloth and ashes. It informed them that some of their relatives who had been long detained in purgatory because of their worldliness very much lamented their children being so worldly and so full of worldly grandeur. It claimed that ruffles, fringes, flounces, and tuckers and modesty pieces, lace worn over the bosom, were all inventions of Satan. Our Lord had come to be meek and lowly, it asserted, and so how could we, sinful worms of the earth, deck and adorn our sinful bodies? It declared that thousands of persons were burning in hell forever because of grievous sins that had resulted from their wishing to follow the fashions of the world. For us, and especially for women and young women, this is a very grave reminder that we should take very seriously. The fifth spiritual teaching is that we should pray for sinners and the souls in purgatory, even if they don't deserve it. Listen to this. One night the voice made the Livingston get up three times to pray for a certain soul in purgatory. And when one of the girls began to think that after all the souls could have saved themselves and they deserved their pains, and anyhow the whole thing was exaggerated, suddenly they all heard a voice shrieking, "Help, help." When we asked what kind of help was needed, it replied, "Prayers, for we are in excruciating torments." Now that was taking apart from a previous point that I had made before. Now, although in our arrogance, we could say, well, don't the souls in purgatory deserve what they're getting? And shouldn't we just allow them to suffer in God's justice? If we heard the suffering that they were undergoing, we would immediately, unless we had incredibly hard hearts, want to help them and pray for them. Number six, that supernatural things don't necessarily convert people. Listen to this. Mr. Livingston's second wife, despite the fact that she heard the voice more frequently than anyone except her husband, was never sincerely converted. She herself used to say that she was a Judas of the family, and she constantly tried to falsify whatever the voice said. The voice also prophesied that she would die in her own home and room, and so when she became ill, she deliberately left the house in order to prove the voice wrong. And when she was near death, she was obliged by circumstances to beg to be taken home, where she died in her own room, just as the voice had foretold. Now, although it could be good to ask God for signs and for other supernatural things, even if the Lord grants them, don't think that they will necessarily convert those around you. We must therefore pray that those that are not converted to have sincere conversions of heart that come from their own free will and not because they see something supernatural. Number seven is that we should take spiritual warnings given to us very seriously. Listen to this. A lady in a certain family had a brother who was studying for the priesthood in Georgetown College. Through Mr. Livingston, the voice informed this lady that her brother, whom it called my son, had become a blasphemer who openly proclaimed that he believed in neither the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament nor the power of the Church to forgive sins. The voice added that if he died in that state of mind, he would open his eyes in the raging flames below among the damned, and that no prayers or good works could help him then. But the young man remained obstinate in his sins despite many warnings, and eventually, as the voice foretold, he came to a violent end in great poverty. He was thrown from a horse and died of a broken neck. All of us have received spiritual warnings in our lives. Sometimes we'll think to ourselves, no, I have a little bit more time. Don't do that, because you never know when your end will come. Number 8, that the innocence of children is extremely protective to those around them. Listen to this. One night, the good old farmer and his daughter Charlotte were sitting together when the voice spoke from a bright light in a corner of the room and told the girl that the devil had been trying to tempt her all day and would have succeeded if she had not been holding in her arms all the time a neighbor's baby, but the innocence of the babe had protected her. This reveals to us why Satan hates innocence, why he wants abortions to happen, why he hates children and attacks the very young, because their innocence is a spiritual shield that protects us from many more things than we can possibly imagine. Another thing that you could deduce from this is have more children, because those children, despite the cost or the sufferings, are protections for you against evil. Do not underestimate their spiritual power. Number 9, that the Mass is unbelievably powerful. Listen to this. Every night, the voice would join the family in their prayers, saying the rosary with them and instructing them to pray well. It also explained the Mass to them and stated that one Mass was more acceptable to Almighty God than all the sighs and tears of the whole world put together, for it was God, a pure God, offered up to God. Now, if that is not an amazing summary of the power of the Mass, I don't know what is. Use it to convert your non-Catholic friends. And the last piece of advice is as follows. With the reality that the end of time is much nearer than you think, Adam Livingston had still another weighty reason for deeding or giving part of his land to the Catholic Church for all time. For one day, the voice that had so often correctly predicted future events uttered the following striking and significant prophecy. Before the end of time, this place will be a great place of prayer and fasting and praise. Was the voice foretelling the future development of this tract of land of a popular Catholic pilgrimage shrine, or the foundation of a community of contemplative farmer monks such as the Trappists, who are famed for prayer and fasting and praise? Later on, towards the end of this book, perhaps the time is not distant when the priest field will indeed be a great place of prayer and fasting and praise. Now, here is kind of to help you understand what this is saying. Now, this particular edition of the story was finished in the 1950s when it had not yet developed. The church then began investing in it, but it wasn't actually until very, very recently, even more recently, a private company purchased it from the church because it hadn't been managed very well. And now they are developing their ministries even more. So the fruitfulness of this piece of land is happening actually right now, like within the last 10 years. Now, we know from many other visions and many other mystics that they all say that the end of time is near, but that is a prophetic word from purgatory saying that it's right now, affirming the reality that we should live with awareness that Christ is coming soon. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please like and subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.